This is the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Now, here's Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins.
All right, Jinx, you know I love complaining on this show, and I think I'm going to start a segment where I do hashtag morning people problems, because yesterday I drank so much coffee that after the show, I felt like I was going to throw up. For some reason or another, I cannot seem to get the ratio right between, you know, feeling energized and feeling, you know, super anxious and super nauseous.
See, this is what you do. First of all, it's always good radio when you come on and you say, I was about to throw up yesterday. Let me tell you why. Here's what you do, Chelsea. You go to the extreme like I do. What do I do in the morning? I wake up. I have a couple of cups of coffee. I come in. I get a Red Bull. I usually polish off that Red Bull within 30 minutes. Now I'm drinking a Monster energy drink. Now you would think, Jinx, that's really terrible for you. Is it? Because now anytime I decrease, my body thanks me because I'm so over the edge with so much caffeine. I punish my body with so much whatever it is that's in my system right now besides caffeine, vitamins, minerals, things I don't understand.
Chemicals
keeping
red
me
and
alive.
Blue number 40.
Tell you what, this guy's in the morgue, but he looks great. I don't know. Is he dead yet? I think these energy drinks might be keeping him going still. So I'm just saying that I have punished my body enough that I can relent a little bit, and then I'm back right where I need to be. So maybe you're not drinking enough caffeine every morning.
No, I definitely drank too much. It's kind of like the same deal with, like, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this, but like edibles, like I've only taken them a couple times when I was in Colorado.
We're talking.
The second you think this isn't working, I should take more. And then it really kicks in. That's how caffeine is for me. I'm like, this isn't working. And then the caffeine hears me and says, oh, it's not working. You're going to go straight to the moon.
Chelsea, if that's how caffeine treats you, I can assure you, you want to stay away from an edible. You'll be like, oh, you know what? You pull the classic, I'm fine. I don't feel anything. I'll have another. And then in 30 minutes, you would be on the floor. So I would recommend staying away from all of that if caffeine is having a detrimental effect. My body can't get enough. I could have five edibles. I'd be like, I don't know. I feel a little lightheaded. That's it.
All right. So we need a third opinion on this. So let's bring in Nick Ashew, a writer and host for BetQL. You can listen to him on Saturdays right here on BetQL from 10 to noon Eastern. So Nick, as a guy who's coming on a morning show, what has your experience been with caffeine? Have you ever overdone it?
First off, I thought we were going to get into just edibles. That was what I was hoping for. Here's what I love about coming on the show with you guys is I know that nothing is out of bounds and there's no way that I can derail the show because it's already going to be derailed the minute I get on. So it's absolutely perfect for me. It makes me look like the good guy in this. Yes, I've been there multiple times. In fact, right now, because your producer loves to have me on so damn early every day, I got this right here. And by the way, this is a coffee mug of my. So I'll tell you the story on this coffee mug. This is why people should get on Twitch and watch the show. This is a sketch of one of my friend's children that they got at like a carnival where they do like a little sketch of the family. And it came out so ugly. We went and visited them. And they were like, what? We looked at it and said, what in the world is that picture? Like, that's our kids. And I was like, they look like the devil. And they thought it was the funniest thing. So they made coffee mugs and they sent them to us of the scary drawings of their children. So I drink coffee out of it every day to wake myself up a little bit more. Jenks, I see you look very scared by your face. So, yes, I'm just going to have another step while you talk. Go ahead.
That is a drawing of an 87-year-old child is what that is.
There you
is.
Go. This is
that
a child right
looks
here.
Like it's going, that child looks like it's going into hospice tomorrow.
This is why you don't go to one of those carnivals and pay for them to do a little sketch of your family, because it will look like a devil that will haunt your dreams, as you can see right here.
This
so that's how I wake myself up.
Don't let a carny draw a picture of your kid. I've always lived by that rule.
That and don't take too many edibles, Jenks. Those two things, if you can live by those rules, you'll be good for your entire life. Yes.
Actually, when you take an edible, that's when you're likely to say, you know what, I think I'll go to a carnival and have someone draw a picture of my kid.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that the artist of this was on edibles, so it makes perfect sense right here. I mean, look at that.
Well, listen, we've talked about edibles. We've talked about carnies. Let's talk about some NBA and dive into last night's games, because we did have some good ones between the Knicks and the Nets. And, of course, that huge matchup in the desert in which the Suns took down the Warriors. What do you think the biggest takeaway was from last night's matchups?
The Suns are for real. And now – you could look at that and say, well, yeah, Nick, of course, they went to the finals last year. But you look at last season and go, oh, there was all these guys out. You know, it was one of those paths where they played a team where one of them was missing a star every single time they played them in whatever round that it was. There's always excuses, right, for a team like the Phoenix Suns. This Suns team started off 1-3. They've now won 17 straight games, and they've tied a franchise record. And by the way, they beat the Warriors last night without Devin Booker. He played like 15 minutes before he hurt his hamstring, which keep an eye on that because that could be a major factor for the Suns moving forward, at least in the immediate future. Because as you know, hamstring injuries become a problem that just linger and linger and linger, sort of like those edibles, actually, Chelsea, where they just, you think they're not going to linger anymore, and they keep on lingering. But this was the first big test for the Warriors as well. Now, the Warriors have played good teams. This has been the narrative, like, they haven't played teams that are good enough. I wrote about this yesterday. Like, they have actually played teams that are good, but just not as good as the Phoenix Suns. The Suns were two-point favorites. They haven't lost since they started off 1-3. And you got to credit people like Chris Paul, who've continued to make every team that he goes to better every single year. And I wish Chris Paul would get more appreciation for what he's done throughout his career. It's why I desperately want to see him win a title, because then people will stop forgetting how he's one of the all-time great point guards of this league.
Oh, I think that's such a great point. CP has gotten it done for so long. And like you say, everywhere he goes, his teams get better.
Everywhere.
He deserves a ring more than anyone right now in the NBA. We're talking to our good friend Nick Ashew from BetQL Writer. He's also on this network each and every Saturday. You can listen to him as well. Nick, I wanted to ask you about this Washington Wizards game tonight. And I know you follow the Wizards. You know this team as well as anyone. Laying 3.5 points at home against the Timberwolves. The Wizards are 7-2 against the number this season, but also they're starting to, I don't want to say fall back to earth, because they're definitely better than they were last year. But do you expect Washington to sort of slow down a little bit and regress a little bit?
So the biggest issue for me is Bradley Beal trying to figure out what his role is with this team. That was one of my big prop bets before the season, was take the under on his points per game total throughout the season. I think it was around 30 to 30 and a half, depending on, you know, where you were looking, obviously. I said hammer the under on that, because what Washington did was they added so much more talent. They've added a lot of depth. They've added other scores. You got Montrezl Harrell, who has the second best odds now to win Sixth Man of the Year. By the way, he's way behind Tyler Hero. It's like Tyler Hero way up here, and then everybody way below him. And rightfully so. Hero's having a great year with the Heat. But what you've got now with Bradley Beal is he's missed a little bit of time. He had a death in the family. Obviously, you expect him to be out, handle what you need to handle, come back. But you can see now where there's a little bit of a hesitancy. He's become a little more of a playmaker, which is great. But he's used to carrying this team offensively. He's done it over the last couple of seasons without John Wall, and even when Russell Westbrook was missing time last year. So what is his role? What is he going to be this year? Is he going to keep stepping back and being more of this facilitator that's going to get you, you know, around 23 points a game, which is what he's averaging now? I've continued to hammer his under every single time, and I've nailed it on my prop bets every single time. So just stick with it, and you'll be good. In fact, I think over the last week it was twice I took the under, and it hit both times, because that's sort of where he is right now. And it's not totally his fault. I mean, this is a team now that has more talent. This is a team that has a lot more depth, guys that can go out there and score. So if they can figure out sort of where Bradley Beal fits into this equation, which I know sounds crazy to make that statement, but if that can get worked out, I think it puts them in a better position. The key for the Wizards now is to continue to play defense. They become so much more of a better defensive team. And if you can continue to work on that and continue to be a strong defensive team, they got enough guys that can go out there and score with anybody in the league.
Well, speaking of defensive improvements, that's something that the Nets have really tried to hang their hat on this season, is being better defensively, because last year was all about the overs, because the Nets didn't even get a hand up in people's faces. And this year they've done a better job. And last night, an incredible game between the Nets and the Knicks, in which I think we almost learned more about the Knicks. I thought it was really impressive how they stuck around despite being down big to a Nets team that is, you know, expected to win it all. So what did we learn? Which side did we learn more about, the Nets or the Knicks last night?
Clearly, we learned that Kemba Walker was the sole problem for the Knicks, and that's why they took him out of the rotation. I mean,
well, Alec Burks has been good.
He has. Alec Burks has played really well, and I give Tom Thibodeau credit for making that move with Kemba Walker, because this was one of the feel-good stories of the NBA. It's like Kemba Walker coming home. Oh, this is where he belongs. It's so great. Oh, no, there's a reason why the Celtics got rid of him. He's not that. Look, he's always been a defensive liability. When Kemba Walker has been off the floor for the Knicks this year, they have the best defensive rating in the entire NBA. When he's on the floor, it's really bad. So this is where it got to, where Tom Thibodeau expects his team to play defense. Last year, the Knicks were one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. They haven't been this season. So they realized, okay, this is the move we're going to have to make. We're going to have to make the sacrifice now. And you saw a team in the Knicks, not just defensively in this, that's only one part, but they fought back. I mean, you talk about that third quarter where it started off, I think it was a 22-7 run at one point for the Nets, and all of a sudden the Knicks roll back in the third quarter at the end to make that thing close. And it showed that they're not as talented as the Nets, at least when it comes to like the top down. The Knicks may be a little more spread out in terms of talent, but you don't have Kevin Durant. You don't have James Harden. You have nobody that can touch either one of those guys. But what they do have is a resiliency and a toughness and a level of confidence too, because right now the Knicks are the little brother to the Nets, and they played like they were playing their big brother out in the driveway, and they wanted to win. Meanwhile, the Nets were trying to hold their head back while they were swinging the entire time, but they figured it out in the fourth quarter. And it's tough because that Mitchell Robinson foul late in the game became the difference with those two free throws for the Nets. And you're watching it going, just go straight up. Just put your arms up, dude. Don't reach in. Mitchell Robinson is a really good defensive big man, but he also gets really, really stupid fouls, and he's going to have to figure that out.
Nick, before we let you go, we got about 60 seconds here, so it needs to be quick. But does Julius Randle have a beef after what we saw last night, getting on the officials for not getting any foul calls?
I mean, he's not on Kevin Durant's level, so that's the way that it's going to be. He's just not that level of a star yet. Look, guys are always going to argue with refs. I get it. And there is some level of, there were clearly calls going more in the Nets' direction. This is the way the NBA works. Stars get more calls. Life isn't fair. The NBA's not fair either. If you are an NBA superstar, unless you're James Harden, where they made a point out of all the fouls that he's not going to get, that he's getting back to the free throw line again, you're just not going to be at that point quite yet if you're Julius Randle.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.